And I was going to just go do the same old routine thing, sit at the bar after our practice, tell old kind of jokes and stories or whatever we say, you know, laugh it up, go home, do the same thing again. And so he said, well, do you want to come to a Bible study? And it sounded kind of comical at the time, but I thought, well, maybe I should try something different in my life.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear more from Arlen Melendez, a Paiute from Reno, Nevada. We pick up where Arlen left off, wondering if there's more to this life than what he's living.
And then I thought, well, you know, is this all there is to life? Am I just going to, there's nothing more to look forward to than this? And then I was playing basketball one day, and this is where my life really changed. I had no direction. My drinking got so bad, I ended up in this detox center down the road. It's near the asylum, they call it. But they had a place there where they picked you up and they sent you there because you were totally inebriated and you needed to dry out. You know, they sent you to this place there. And I ended up there, you know, and if you drink so much of alcohol, you get these DTs, these delirium tremors, you know, and where your body is really shaking. And I got to that point and I was thinking, boy, I'm kind of hit rock bottom here. You know what I mean? So I decided at that point I would try to change. You know, my mom was still going to church at that time. She went to church downtown because there was no church on the Indian reservation. And so I decided to tag along whenever my hangover would, go away. And so maybe it made me feel a little better, but just to sit in church and just kind of listen, it made me feel good for some reason. And I did that for a while, but then I'd fall back and drink again. And, you know, and so at some point, I was still playing basketball. I don't know how I did that and still drink. But you know what happened? I was at this basketball practice and we were down here, and a friend of mine who was the center of our team, he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he actually had started to go to this Bible study. And at this one time he asked me, and I was going to go down to the Nugget, which was a casino where everybody went after practice, and I was going to go there with them. And I was going to just go do the same old routine thing, sit at the bar after our practice, tell old kind of jokes and stories or whatever we say, you know, laugh it up, go home, do the same thing again. And so he said, well, do you want to come to a Bible study? And it sounded kind of comical at the time, but I thought, well, maybe I should try something different in my life, to go through the same routine thing down at the casino bar again. We do that every night. So I went with him, and at that Bible study, there was some ladies there, and there was this Puerto Rican guy who was married to an Indian lady, and his name was Harry Malero, and he was married to one of the tribal ladies here, and he was kind of a Christian, I learned later. And so Dan Mosley, who was the center on my team, who asked me to go to the Bible study, they were both there. And they asked me, and I had heard about Jesus Christ through my mom was on saying, follow Jesus, but I didn't really know what that meant. And one thing that really struck me that I'd never heard before is that this Puerto Rican, he asked me this one question. He said, Arlen, have you ever received the Lord? You know, and that was the first time I ever heard that. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, have you ever received the Lord? And he was referring to, I think, scripture that says whoever has, you know, received him, you know, becomes a child of God. And so I said, no, I don't. I said, well, what do I have to do? Then he said that if I invited Jesus in my heart and believed that he died on the cross for me, you know, that he was buried and rose on the third day, then I would be saved, you know. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. I said, I tried everything else in this world. Maybe that might work, you know. But I really was, in my soul, I was really reaching out for something that maybe I didn't really know about on the surface, but my soul was crying out for something. And so at that Bible study, he led me to receive Jesus Christ, and I invited him into my heart. And so after the Bible study, you know, I went home and I slept good, you know, but I recognize the next day that I didn't feel the same in the inside. You know, I felt that there was hope where there wasn't very much hope or the same routine thing. It just felt like I was on a new journey. And the good thing about Harry Malero, this Puerto Rican guy, he led me to the Lord, but he followed up with me, meaning that even though I lived in that old house that I cleaned out by myself, that had the wood stove and the leaky roof, he used to come by there, and he'd come pick me up, and he'd say, we're going to do a Bible study, or we're going up to Calvary Chapel, and it was up there. And then we went on Saturdays, too. So we went to a Bible study up there on Saturdays and Wednesday, and I started to grow. And up, it was up there that they had these musicians up there who were playing the guitar. And I had played drums in high school, so I knew how to play rock and roll because I had played that, you know, in these younger years when we were still lost, but we liked music. And so these guitar players asked me if I wanted to learn to play the guitar, and I had this old beat out guitar at home, and I brought it, and so I took that, but they taught me how to play these different keys, and that's where I kind of learned to play a little bit chords and learn some music there. And I really had a joy of learning these Christian songs, and I started to grow, and Harry Malero kept taking me with him, you know, and that I'd get stronger. Then years later, I still needed to kick this addiction, even though they say some people, it's instantaneous, you know, that, but it wasn't with me. It took some time, and it fell away little by little. So next thing you know, I was end up helping Rob Smith, who was running Alcoholics Victorious. I end up helping him, you know, lead other men and helping other men. So I was kind of an understudy to Rob Smith. He was a non-Indian, but he was helping me become maybe a leader at that time. So I ended up working with that for about a year, and then there was a Bible study here, and then Harry Reimer and Lily Reimer, they were older folks, but they came from the Moapa Indian Reservation. Harry was a pastor there down in near Las Vegas. And so by chance, they just happened to be in Reno when we were thinking about starting a church. And then they helped us incorporate in 1983 the Colony Christian Fellowship. And so, but God has really been faithful. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I remember a prayer that I had to be in Vietnam for a year or 13 months. And I, when I looked down on that country and we were coming in for a landing in Da Nang, I looked down, it looked like it was all cloudy down there. And I was thinking, be lucky to make it back alive. And I remember talking to God. I said, Lord, if you get me through this, you know, I'll serve you, you know, when I get back. And I remember that promise to God, but I kind of forgot about it after I got out of the service. But later on, when I did give my heart to the Lord, I remembered that promise I made back in 1969 when I was going into Vietnam, that I told the Lord that if you get me through this, I'll serve you. And now it seems like today I'm kind of fulfilling that promise in a way. And so then I met my wife, Joyce, and we got married, you know, and we're still married today. So, you know, with God, it kind of worked out everything. I wasn't perfect, but over time, God has made me a better husband. You know, that I look at my wife and cherish her more than, it's not about me anymore. It's more about her than myself, you know. So it's really becoming a servant, you know, the Bible talks about. Besides being the worship leader here at Colony Christian Fellowship, I lead you know, the Bible, men's Bible study on Saturday morning. But, you know, when I think about the influence of my mom, you know, it kind of answered her prayers that she wanted all her sons saved. And I have two other brothers, and they're all, you know, came to know the Lord too. I don't have any sisters. I wish I had, but we had all boys. So, and so really, you know, when I started to really study the Bible, it's almost like God spoke to my heart more that he wanted to use me. And then what's interesting is that I couldn't hold a job for a long time. I'd lose jobs, probably had 20, 30 jobs, different jobs, and never held one for more than a year. But you know what? After I came to know the Lord, I went to work. The Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe was looking for somebody that lived in Reno. And at that time, I was a member of their tribe out there 30 miles away. And they had a lake and they had a fishery. And they were looking for somebody in Reno. And I wanted a good job, you know, because I was washing dishes and doing all these other kind of jobs. You know, they were just jobs. But the Fish and Wildlife was looking for a Paiute Indian that lived in Reno. And they ended up hiring me and I for the summer, and I worked on their fishing program. I'd never been in a boat in my life. And so I ended up going out across the lake, and they were telling me, they're going to teach me about fisheries, right? The first thing they said was, today you're going to be counting creel. And I said, okay, what's counting creel? And I thought, the first thought in my mind was, well, krill must be some type of little snails or something, what it sounds like to me, right? So I said, okay, I didn't ask too much question. I said, okay, I'm going to be counting krill. That's what they said. So what it really was is that a krill station is a place where fishermen come by, and you have a clipboard and you have a scale. So when the fishermen come by, you stop them, and every so often you weigh their fish and you take the measurements and you check for tags on the fish. Now, that's what a krill station was, right? And so I didn't know that, but that's what I did when I first started there. Then I was out on a lake doing gill netting for Lahontan and cutthroat trout, and they were doing population studies on like a prehistoric fish that was in the lake on the reservation there. Kiwi Lake sucker, they thought it was going extinct, and nowadays it's thriving. So that's how I started out. Then I worked in a laboratory for the Pyramid Lake doing fish pathology and dissecting fish and treating fish with chemicals, you know, that got different fish diseases. And then later on, there was a job opening for a fish hatchery manager. They had three fish hatcheries, and nobody, like a lot of the natives, they didn't want to take any more responsibility. So I said, well, paid more money. So I said, how many people are on my crew? They said, well, five. I only had to supervise five people, right? So I took the job, and I ended up the hatchery manager. So praise the Lord, I had not only a good job, now I was a supervisor, right? And I'd never been a supervisor in my life, right? And so next thing you know, I had to develop communication skills to be able to address all kind of human issues with people, you know, their moods, all kind of things like this. So I started to learn how to work with people back then. Supervising is not easy sometimes, you know. So anyway, I worked there for 9 years, 10 years. At that time, I was growing a little bit, not only in the Lord, but I was growing in my jobs and responsibilities and my marriage and everything. Then I decided to run for the tribal council on my reservation.
The direction of Arlen's life has changed dramatically since he began to follow Jesus. He used to wonder if there was more to this life, and now he knows there is. It's amazing what God will do in our hearts and lives when we trust Him. He gives us purpose, real hope, and power to change. That's Arlen's story, and the testimony of so many others who have decided to follow Jesus. What about you, my friend? Are you ready to follow Jesus? He's inviting you now. Listen to His words. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you'd like to know more, visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Arlen's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.